Thanks so much for joining us online today. We're always encouraged to hear stories of how lives are being changed by the message of grace all around the world from what we do right here in Longwood, Florida. So if you have a story you'd like to share with us, please send it to stories@graceorlando.com. If you'd like to support the mission and the ministry of Grace Church, you can give conveniently online at graceorlando.com. Thanks so much again for joining us today.
Daddy, thank you so much that we are benefactors of your love, that we are your children, that we're led by your Spirit, and that you are excited every single time we pause and appreciate and recognize and enjoy that truth. So I thank you, Daddy, and together I join with my friends here and share. We have anticipation for new distinction, particularly today, God. There are things that I know you've been revealing and sharing that are going to come out today that will tear down certain lies that have been sown by the enemy into our culture and into our lives as individuals as we're exposed to them. So I choose for me and invite others to choose to allow your light to shine on anything that's dark, your light to shine on anything that's been limiting the full life that you intend for us, the Zoe life, the abundant life that you intend for us in oneness and in the love affair with you. Thank you, God. Amen. So sin, shame, condemnation, guilt. Any of that stuff sound familiar? The Romans 8:1 tells us, therefore, it starts out, right? It says, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. The Spirit of life set us free from the spirit of sin and death. The power of that, since it says therefore, rests in us going to 7 that leads into 8, because therefore is following something, right? It's saying, because of this, now therefore this. And so if we go to 7, we're going to do a little bit of something crazy and risky here and actually dig deep into the Word of God this morning. Says, I want to pick up, relax, and I want to preframe a little. The Clark has done such an amazing job on this, I won't even attempt to replicate it. I'm going to touch on the same topic, though, in helping us realize the metaphor God used when he referred to the law as a husband. And when a wife is married to a husband, they are under they are married. They're in oneness. And to be with another would be infidelity, right? So what we're going to see is it points out that unless that first husband dies, you're not free to be with another husband. And so let's see where it goes with that, and then we'll get to that Romans 8:1 that we were on. So, or do you not know, brethren, for I'm speaking to those who know the law, that the law has jurisdiction over a person as long as he lives. For the married woman is bound by the law to her husband while he is living. But if her husband dies, she is released from the law concerning the husband. So then, if while your husband is living, she is joined to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband dies, she is free from the law, so that she is not an adulteress, though she is joined to another man. What other man? Grace. Jesus and what he did. This scandalous, unimaginable, inequitable exchange is what they're referring to there. So to another, where was that? Therefore, my brethren, you also were made to die to the law through the body of Christ, so that you might be joined to another, to him who was raised from the dead, in order that we might bear fruit for God. For while we were in the flesh, the sinful passions which were aroused by the law were at work in the members of our body to bear fruit for death. This is going to come up again and again this morning. But remember, the flesh, all he's saying is the law gave power to the flesh, and the flesh only seeks, it's neither good nor bad. Scripture does say it has nothing good in it, but it has nothing bad in it either. It's sin that's bad. But the flesh seeks to be satisfied. It is seeking to protect and do and meet its need. So my flesh is greedy. Not that it's bad. It just thinks I need as much as it can get. Because it doesn't know, it doesn't have a shut off. Do you know what I mean? It's so we'll get to that. Hold on, because it's really groovy. So yes, I said groovy for those of you who are young. It's a word in the anyway. Okay. But now we have been released from the law, having died to that by which we were bound, so that we serve in newness of the spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? May it never be. On the contrary, I would not have come to know sin except through the law, for I would not have known about coveting if the law had not said, you shall not covet. My flesh covets, but he's pointing out I didn't know it unless there was the law. So my flesh would have continued to do what it's designed to do and not know that there's a better way and not have a need for that better way. So thanks be to God for the law as a way to awaken fallen man through the one man, it says in Romans there was a fall, and then through the one man, Jesus Christ, we were all saved as long as we believe on what he has done. So, but sin, taking opportunity through the commandment, produced in me coveting of every kind, for apart from the law, sin is dead. For apart from the law, sin is dead. In 1 Corinthians 15, 56, 57, after quoting the Old Testament, where he's quoting David saying, oh, death, where is your sting? He goes on to say, the power of death is sin, but the power of sin is the law. Sin finds its power in the law. The law gives sin power. Jesus said what after he healed, for example, the man at the well, I mean at the pool. After he healed him, he said, go and sin no more, okay? Were they under the law while Jesus said that? Yes. Virtually every time that Jesus said it, after he would heal, if he did say, go and sin no more, I really have been seeking God on this because where we're going, you'll see that if you focus, we know this, if you focus on sin, sin abounds. You actually give it power. If you fan a fire, it actually gets stronger. If you feed it what it needs, it grows, and sin needs attention. It wants attention. It wants to be the center of attention. So if you focus on sin abounds, if you focus on grace and what Christ did for us, grace abounds. So the comment that I was about to make that I sought God on is, show me anywhere where Paul or Peter or any of the disciples following what they, sharing now, the good news that they lived and watched with Christ, where they said, go and sin no more. And so far, I haven't found one. They didn't put the focus on sin. Now, someone may come and say, in their encouraging the believers to focus on the fruits of the Spirit instead of the fruits of the flesh. Sure. To point to God's best, because he and all, as believers, we want the best for ourselves and one another, don't we? So that's different than focusing on sin. Anyway, but sin taking its opportunity through the commandment produced in me coveting of every kind. We said that already, so let me go back, jump ahead. But when the commandment came, sin became alive and I died. When the commandment came, sin became alive and I died. And this commandment, which was to result in life, proved to result in death for me. What's he saying? What it's saying there is, if we could follow the law to its fullest, which no man ever could, no man ever has, then it would have been life. That's why in Revelation it says, I'd rather you be hot or cold. One is, I'd rather you be cold and follow the law to the letter. The other is, I'd rather you be hot for this intimate love affair with Jesus. But don't live in the middle where you make grace of no effect. Either live by the law and thrive and follow it 100%. But don't be lukewarm. That's the proper use of that scripture, instead of how mixture of law and grace teaching had shared with me, I better not be lukewarm. I know we covered that some weeks ago, but you know, I better get hot for God. Yes?
You say, Jesus said, go to sin no more. All right? What's the answer of that?
The answer is that Jesus said, don't sin no more, because I never die yet for you to set you free.
So,
and then, you know, in the New Testament, he said, for the renew of your mind, when Jesus died, gave his life for us. Okay? Yes. We accept him. He change our mind, renew our mind. So I believe that what he says, go ascend no more, okay, because he never died yet for him.
Yeah.
Okay.
At
that point, when Jesus died for him, the sin is dead.
Amen. Yes. And that's another way of saying, the point was, their only option was the law. I haven't died for you yet, is what you're saying. So I did ask actually some others, including Javen, and he made the point still that we always will all acknowledge there are still things, even though I am not a sinner and not seen as a sinner by God, my past, present, and future sins have been washed away forever, and so have yours. In spite of that, God wants his best for us, so he'd rather I not sin. But nowhere does he tell me to focus on sin. Focus on him and what he's done for me. And then there's a transformation. And so here's what I find that drives me batty as we share this truth with people who have a little bit of knowledge. And when I'm frustrated with them, I'm really frustrated with myself, because that was me. Are you following me? I'm the one that had logic get in the way. I'm the one, so I relate to it. So I have a little bent for the spirit behind it that has us go, but what about? Well, please keep your butt out of my faith, okay? butt is death, because it's me choosing the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. I didn't know what I didn't know, and I wouldn't have ever known it if I didn't let go. Wow, that's a Dr. Susie rhyme. The only way is to let go. It's just like if I were to continue to fight this guy who's working with me on my shoulder and go, but you don't understand. I'm stronger here because I've trained for years to lift with my shoulder out of the socket. You don't understand. But what if I just compensate this way? Do you want to be well? Yes. Then surrender, relax, do the little thing I told you to do that seems like it's getting you nowhere. Meanwhile, I just saw Ashley a few minutes ago. She stepped out, but she had little Riley with her, and he's crawling. Well, I remember when he wasn't crawling. Soon he's going to be walking and then running. But step by step, right? He's not sitting there going, but wouldn't it be better if I stood and walked? He's just getting... Yeah, so anyway, we got a lot to cover here. So then, the law is holy, and the commandment is holy, and righteous and good. Therefore, did that which is good become a cause of death for me? May it never be. Rather, it was sin, in order that it might be shown to be sin by affecting my death through that which is good, so that through the commandment, sin would become utterly sinful. That alone, that sin would become utterly sinful, so that it's not confusing. The enemy likes to distort it. The world and culture, therefore, have embraced the distortions to gray every line. But thanks be to God, he's making it black and white. I created the law so sin itself would be known as sinful. Not you, but sin. And sin, the flesh, will embrace sin if it is not set free, which is where we're going to the therefore. I should mark my place, shouldn't I? For the good that I... So he goes on, Do I skip this? Many of you are familiar, some may not be, with where Paul then goes on to say, the good I want to do, I don't do. And okay, and it, even that, we have to go there, sorry. How are we doing? We're good. Okay. For I know that good dwells in me, that is in my flesh. For the willing is present in me, but the doing of the good is not. For the good that I want, I do not do, but I practice the very evil that I do not want. But if I'm doing the very thing I do not want, I am no longer the one doing it, but sin which dwells in me. I find then the principle that evil is present in me, the one who wants to do good. For I joyfully concur with the law of God in the inner man, but I see a different law in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin, which is in my members. Does anyone relate to that? I have two hands up because I'm... Okay, so, wretched man that I am, he's writing in the... to make a point, but this is a past tense statement. Wretched man that I am, who will set me free from the body of this death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, on the one hand, I myself with my mind am serving the law of God, but on the other, with my flesh, the law of sin. Okay, if we left it there, that would be bad enough. But now it says, therefore, all that was just context. So we're allowing the Bible to interpret the Bible here and set us free from any lies of distortion. He needed us to understand there was a husband that was the law and all that comes with being married to that. And there's a husband called Jesus Christ and all that's involved with that and all the challenges and conflict that comes with one foot in both sides, so on and so forth. But therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For this law of the Spirit, and it's the Spirit of life, it's the Spirit of the living God, and it's the very same Spirit that dwelt in another man before you. Not Jesus God, Jesus man, 100% man, who walked and did not one thing in his own power. Not one, well, maybe he walked, his body, there were things, but he did not one kingdom thing in his own power. It was all the Spirit of God in him doing nothing but what he heard the Father say and what he saw the Father seeing, and that's what he did. And they were in harmony and in oneness, and that's the full and intended life that's ours instead of the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. And as an offering for sin, he condemned sin, as you said, condemned sin in the flesh, so that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us. We do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Okay, now we're going to step up the pace quite a bit. In Galatians 5:1, it then says, never again will I be put in the yoke of slavery. He's referring to the law, being under that tyrant husband that's dead, okay? Never again, because of this freedom that he's known. And it goes on then to talk about, and he's talking to people that are mixing in practices that are self-righteous, attempting to make themselves better, make themselves right with God. He says, what happened? Who bewitched you? How did you fall from grace and make grace of no effect in your life? So some of the people who were saying that to were believers. Why, you who are free, did you choose to put on shackles and walk around like a slave And literally, even though you have grace for every day you're given all the grace you need for that day, which, by the way, don't waste it on tomorrow. Right? Seriously. We got enough for today. You'll have all you need tomorrow. So why worry about tomorrow? When you get there, there's grace to whip its butt, whatever it is that would concern you. So you have enough grace for today. But he's saying that grace that you have, it's of no effect. It's sitting on the shelf. Anyone ever get sick? Everyone ever get depressed? Anyone ever get frustrated and live in less than full peace for more than a light and momentary? Thank goodness yours is light and momentary as it's intended. He says, yes, you will have light and momentary troubles. Why? Because we still have muscle memory. We still have a world that says you deserve to be angry. You deserve to be offended. And we have a religious practice that says don't be angry. So it would have been bottled up for years, our good friend shared this morning. But she gave testimony, for those who missed it on the recording, that when she realized what was going on, she allowed the spirit of life in her to give her the direction and faith and leading, being led by the spirit. Therefore, she's a daughter of the king. And she went to her neighbor and confronted the very thing that was nothing once she addressed it, and she walked away with peace. By the way, not with the outcome that she would have liked in the natural. But he's working all things together for her good. And that story isn't over forever until she gets to heaven. Who knows what that testimony and what that spirit of life and seed of life in her is already doing and will continue to do, and what harvests are coming. Peace and joy, peace and joy, peace and joy. Okay, so when I was going to go, but in time-wise, from a scriptural standpoint, there are places in the New Testament now, under as new creations, where you and I have been tripped up because it talks about fruits and that we're called to bear fruit and that there are fruits of the Spirit. Okay? What are some of the fruits of the Spirit?
Love, joy, peace, long suffering.
Okay. We'll just take the love, joy, peace, and patience. We'll take those. So now, self-control. So let me ask you a question. If from the inside, my longing, I'm built in his image. I'm built to enjoy, seek, and want love, joy, peace. Right? Okay. You don't grow an orange tree by focusing on oranges. You grow an orange tree by planting a seed and tending to the watering the root and the trunk and so whole nother direction we would head in there. So let me just say that my flesh, in that it's designed to want joy, it will seek happiness because my brain has some of the same encounters when it's happy as it does when it's joyful. So my flesh doesn't know when to stop. So if I'm playing a video game, I don't happen to play them much, but I know people who do, and I could. I'm not above it. I'm just saying that's what came to mind. If I'm playing a video game, my son has a friend who plays 14 to 16 hours a day. A day. Okay? But right? <don't work. laughs> So... his flesh just knows that it makes him happy. What he really wants is joy, right? I'm just saying, look at the counterfeit, the peace. Peace is I want to feel safe and secure and like there's nothing missing in my life. So I will eat more. I will drink more. I will do this. I will do that. My flesh is just looking for what it was designed from the inside out, what the design is. So the answer isn't to focus on trying to be peaceful or joyful or whatever. That is outside in approach. And so similarly, when we go to the bad fruits that are highlighted, like covetousness and impurity and lust of the eyes, all these things. If I focus on avoiding those, then I'm focusing on sin. So, yes, there are places where in speaking to a leader in the church or to the church leaders, Paul is edifying them to be aware that this is evidence of a heart that's not seated properly. So couldn't he have also said, hey, make sure all your leaders are seated in the love of God and the understanding of his grace? That would have accomplished it. But sometimes, if you're preparing messages like he was, you illustrate it in different ways. You say, hey, this impurity and this covetousness and this, all these things, keep that out of the church here. You're leaders. You're people that are what? Now, he's not saying be void of any flaws. He's saying, trust me, I'm the answer. So So what is the byproduct of and the result of does anybody have a behavior that they don't like? A thought pattern, a behavior. Okay. Two hands go up. Okay. So okay, so we get it. We sit here together on a Sunday morning and we identify that, okay, the answer is not to focus on that and elevate that. Don't focus on the sin, but focus on him and it'll go away and so on and so forth, okay? Well, remember the concept earlier that we don't know what we don't know. There are so many areas where you're walking in victory. There's so many areas where you know him, you know his peace, his joy. And what I hear you saying is there's areas, as there are for me, where I'm not. There's a blind spot. And I don't know why that shows up, nor do I need to. I need to admit it exists and lay it at his feet and say, I don't know what to do about this. You died for this to not be part of my life. You exchanged this thing I don't like on the cross. You took it, that very thing. You can go and some of these retreats where you get to take something and write it on a piece of paper and nail it to the cross or throw it in the fire and ask the Holy Spirit to take that from you. You can do that, or you can just sit in a chair in your house and go, Jesus. Or right now you could just say, you know what? He's right. I don't know why I don't fully explore this. The challenge is if we take just the very tip of it and admit that it's there, and give it over, if it's still there, it's because there's something more that the Holy Spirit wants you to allow the light to shine on. Oh, wait, sorry.
In Psalm 139.
Oh, no, okay. No. They can't hear you on the recording.
Psalm 139, how it tells okay. God, who to invite God to invest in. To see what we're about. It has to be self-awareness to understand where we're stuck, because we do have blind spots.
Yeah.
Yes. If they see things that you can't see, which is scary, but we need. But just inviting him constantly to speak to us about these areas. Some of them we know very well about, but otherwise. But I think this is a real important issue because we do put things, we shove them down, and that just grows.
Okay, so if we were to do that, we could take a series of opportunities on Sundays together to see how those flow and some of the roots that are supporting that behavior that you said you relate to. The reference was, for those who couldn't hear, to Psalm 139, where God says, search my heart, O Lord, and goes on. And it is beautiful. It's even more beautiful now for me than it was when I was under a religious following of Christ, because it was search, because there's something wrong. And instead, the invitation here is to see that scripture now under new covenant truth, which is search my heart, O Lord. I want the abundant life that's already mine. I want to come into agreement with all you've already done for me. And there was scripture after scripture that I was going to add that time's not going to allow, but they're just scriptures that go on. It's all from just Romans where we were, Romans 8:1, where we said there is now no condemnation in Christ. There's three or four powerhouse things he states that he'll work everything together for our good. We are more than conquerors, which means anything that would get in our way, we already stand victorious. We are conquerors. Christ in us is already victorious over that behavior and the less than life that it's reaping for you. You're already a victor. it goes on to say, okay? But in the drilling down, here's where the birth and incubus of this whole journey we haven't gotten to yet. It was the word condemnation. There is now no condemnation for those, therefore there is now no condemnation for those of us who are in Christ Jesus. And I would suggest to you that whatever the behavior is, if you drill down enough, and again, you don't have to, you can let Christ do the work, but sometimes the Holy Spirit is going to invite you to be aware of what layers were underneath so that they can be brought into the light and you can go get it. Other times he'll go get it, just I don't know how to explain it. His ways are bigger than mine, okay? And but that word, how did I end up on Galatians? Oh, I'm in the wrong spot. That word, condemnation, in the Greek happens to be kind of a cool sounding word. It is kata krima. Sounds like a Japanese martial arts move. But kata krima, and it's really not complicated. It's damnatory sentence, condemnation. Usually whenever I go to the Greek, there's multiple definitions, they're bullet point. This is it, one, damnatory sentence. If you go to the Strong's, it's an adverse sentence or verdict. So let's not overcomplicate this. There's a judge sitting on his, what do they call it, dais or whatever a judge sits on, and they've assessed the situation, and they've assessed it to be undesirable, found unworthy, unwanting, and the verdict has been passed, bad, not good. That's it, not complicated, right? And with bad and with condemnation, then comes separation, sentence. It's a sentencing as well. Condemnation is the root of virtually every less than thing going on in our lives. And we, the more subtle, the less black and white it is, the longer it seems to be able to dwell where it doesn't belong. So I had a conversation just the other night with someone who was challenged by the thought of judging and said, I don't judge. Beautiful Christian man, lover of Christ, embraces the love of Jesus. And he says, I don't judge. I don't agree with that behavior. I don't think God likes sin, he said. Anyone disagree with that comment? He doesn't like sin. And furthermore, he goes, I don't think sin is good for us. Anyone have a problem with that one? No? Okay. He goes, but I don't judge. Liar. Can we just call it what it is? He does judge. He's saying, I love you, brother, sister, but I wouldn't do that, which means he has sat on the dais. There's a self-righteousness to it, but the point here that needs to be highlighted is him coming into awareness, not feeling guilty or condemned, but awareness that he chose to say, that's not good, I'm choosing the good. There's nothing wrong with choosing good. That's not the point. The point is, if I allow judgment, so this is back to the not knowing what I don't know. I don't know what this guy's doing with my shoulder in that example again. But what I know now is once I did surrender, I'm encountering new things that were impossible for me to see before. Where condemnation is dwelling, there are things that it's impossible for you to see in its proper order. So instead of dealing with it, just get to the root of it and realize, wow, why do I get what? Behavior. Give me a one word. Mad is one I know you said. Yeah. Anger. Didn't mean to call it out. You've been open about it. And so it was the fastest one that comes to mind. Why do I get angry when this happens? If you'll allow the Holy Spirit, I will suggest that you will end up coming to some root where there's condemnation. Either condemning of someone else, but if you are, it's because you see an injustice that just doesn't feel right and it's unfair and doesn't make sense. I don't know what it'll be for you. I just know that once it's revealed that it's condemnation, we can go, wait, there is no condemnation. The Spirit of life set me free from that. And all of a sudden, because out of condemnation comes fear. I don't want to be that less than thing that I've condemned. I'm afraid that I'll be found, sentenced, unworthy. Once you bring that into the light and into the light of Scripture, you go, and truth, then forget studying it and proving it to yourself. The Spirit of God in you will set you free. And there may still be triggers that try and trigger that, where anger does show up. And the enemy will want to go, see, that wasn't the answer. No, it's an opportunity to do what that guy has me doing, and a few others I could show you, which is simply turning, and instead of doing this, or standing with my shoulders collapsed, just to open my hands. Really? Just that. When I do it, though, my shoulder drops into the socket. That, really? That, really? Every time I get mad, go, wait a minute, there's condemnation here? Really? There is a process of renewing your mind. There is a process of just yes, 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 Spirit of life, Spirit of life, Spirit of life, Spirit of life, and watering the good. And what happens literally, physically, they've studied it. If you're interested, I've been pointing to the book, books by Caroline Leaf. She's a neuroscientist that loves Christ and loves us to end at 30 seconds ago. But there is, all I'll say is they can study and see what happens when you believe one way differently than you did before. New dendrites, new things fire, and if you water those, and where you feed, that's what grows. So if we fed the areas that were from old man behavior, then those things will still be have a propensity to want to take the wheel. All we have to do is embrace His love, and then believe it and remind ourselves. Create new memories. Oh, yeah, I'm free. Oh, yeah, I'm free. Oh, yeah, I'm free. So thank you, Jesus, that we are free. Thank you that you came to set us free. And thank you that in that freedom we can walk in peace and joy and victory and in oneness with you. You're amazing, Jesus. Amen. Okay. Thanks, guys.